In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, just remain standing for the remaining of just the first verse. And then after that, I could stand the rest of the way. Amen. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. We were in last week. We were breaking barriers relationally. Amen. Were you here last week? Amen. It was a message that I believe it penetrated the hearts of many people. And I believe God did something, and he did something miraculous. And then here today, I'm going to be speaking on moving from the natural to the supernatural. Moving from the natural to the supernatural. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, if you have it, I'm going to go ahead and read. How many here brought your Bibles? Got two. Got a girl going. Woo! If you have your Bibles, wave it. Okay. Wave it in the air like you just don't care. Amen. I know you got your devices too. Amen. Wave it in the air like you just don't care. You got your Bibles in your phones. I understand. Amen. But try not to respond to that text. You know what I'm talking about. Amen. But get into the Word and let the Word get into you. Amen. And so that it could do the proper change. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. It says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Ooh, that already sounds good. Amen. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. I want you to turn to your neighbor and tell him, you're not my enemy. But against principalities, come on, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Let's pray. Heavenly Father God, just pray that you just have your way. Speak to us, Lord, about moving from the natural to the supernatural here this morning. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Everybody says, I want you to turn to three people and tell them, you're looking better than the last time I seen you. Amen. Come on, somebody. Amen. And go ahead and take a seat after that. You look better. Come on, somebody. Thank you, worship team. Amen. Thank you, Caleb. Amen.
Yeah. She did good. Amen.
Praise the Lord. How many know God gets better and better? His, you know, God kept me young, you know, just growing in the things of God. I got saved at the age of 18 years old. And so being saved at a young age, man, how many know the flesh is real? Right? The flesh is real when you're young. It's like, yo, you know, you got a lot of cravings, a lot of things that you're doing. And when you get, see, the thing about being young and saved, it's like, yeah, you deal with the flesh. And you get a hold of God, and God doesn't work in your life. But when you get old and saved, you're stubborn. Hello, somebody. How many 50 on up do I have here? Ooh, ooh, ooh. Amen. Struggle is real in the morning. Hello. Oh, Lord, I didn't felt these pains before. Amen. You know, but growing in the things of God, and I love growing. I've been in church for like 35 years now, and you already know my age. You already figured it all out. Amen. But being saved for a while now, it just see the grace of God upon our lives. And my wife and I, we've fought some battles together. We've come to a place of breakthrough. And the title of this whole series is called Breaking Barriers. We're going to break some barriers here today. I believe last week we were breaking barriers relationally. And as you noticed, I used the whole book of Ephesians to explain relationships, because of what we read in Revelations chapter 2, where the loveless church was being described, and it described the Ephesus church as having an issue. And that issue was they lost their first love. And so the love is basically the basis of every relationship. But as I mentioned last week, unless you get your relationships together, you're going to struggle with your relationship with God, because every relationship here on earth will reflect your relationship with God. That's a lot of accountability, right? That means even your enemies, your relationship to your enemies. How many know the Bible says you got to love what? Uh-huh. Love your enemies. That if you're not loving your enemy, wait a minute. Maybe there's an issue with this, right? Oh, it got quiet already. Amen. Praise the Lord. But, you know, relationship with people will determine your relationship with God. Why? Because God loves people. He loves people. And so you got to understand that in order for you to get a breakthrough relationally, that means if you do that relationally, you get a breakthrough, it's because your relationship with God is thriving. And how many here love the Lord? You love God. You love Jesus. You love Jesus. Turn to your neighbor. Tell him, get it together. Love Jesus. Come on, somebody. You got to love the Lord. And I've noticed in church that a lot of people go through different levels. You know, maybe you go through your religious level. You're just there religiously coming on Sundays, and that's good. I mean, at least you're here. You know, you're going through maybe you're breaking barriers in different areas in your life. You're breaking through maybe a barrier of addiction. Maybe there's a barrier of strongholds. Maybe even a generational curse, something that was handed off to you. Maybe your dad had an anger problem and you have an anger problem. You know, it just goes on and on with these generational curses. And in here, I know that sometimes it's hard to break a bad habit. And you're breaking these things that stop you from moving forward. Sometimes we find ourselves giving up prematurely before the breakthrough happens in your life. And there's a quote that I say often is this: frustration is a result of false expectations. And I believe that that's what happens with us when we expect to get a breakthrough and we use the arm of the flesh to do it. You're left with the frustrating spirit. You're left with the spirit of frustration because you're not able to break through in areas in your life because you're doing it in the wrong way. You know, there's something I shared before in regards to breakthrough. I read this because it was interesting to me how they broke the sound barrier. See, they broke the sound barrier many, many years ago, back in the 1940s. They were trying to break this barrier, and it was a barrier that needed to be broken. They had to go to a certain speed to break this sound barrier. Matter of fact, they had to go past 330 meters per second in order for them to break it. They said it was impossible. Before the 1940s, they said it was impossible to break this barrier. They couldn't break this barrier. And so finally, you know, they came to a place because all their planes started falling apart when they hit a certain speed. And all of a sudden it just fell and broke apart. And it wasn't able to break through this wall that they were dealing with. They realized they had to go from subsonic to supersonic. They had to go from one speed to another speed. And when they got to the other speed, is they were about to break apart. But when they finally got it together and they built a ship strong enough to get through that sound barrier, it brought them to a whole nother level. How many here want to go to a whole nother level? Come on. It brought them to a whole nother level. They broke through another level, and then the experience was called peace. And so they broke through the sound barrier, and it brought an audible sound, and it was called a sonic boom. That also was referred to as a demon wall. It was referred to in history, they would call it the demon wall. And I believe here, even today spiritually, we have what's called a demon wall. We've come to a place where we keep moving forward, and then all of a sudden, we fall apart. How many know people like that? Right? Only two people know people like that. Oh, my goodness. You know that demon wall? You know what I'm talking about. When you get to a certain point where God begins to work in your life, and then all of a sudden, you go from subsonic to supersonic, and if you're not ready for that next level, you can fall apart. You know that word, that supersonic sound is a big old sound. How many have ever heard the supersonic sound that just happened? And you hear a plane just breaking that barrier, like boom. I've heard it before by an airport. I just heard that. And it's a loud sound. I believe it's the same thing with us. When a man of God gets truly saved and they break barriers in their life, their testimony, come on somebody, begins to be loud out there in the streets. Did you hear about so-and-so? Did you hear about this girl? Did you hear about that person? Man, he was doing drugs, but now he's clean. Did you hear about that person? Man, the sonic boom is happening out there spiritually. People are hearing your testimonies. You see, people have these bad habits, and they're having a hard time breaking traditions, and they're having a hard time breaking through these areas of their life. And the book of Ephesians, if you study the book of Ephesians, it's very interesting because the book of Ephesians was written in prison. It was a prison epistle. And the Apostle Paul was in prison writing this, and he was talking about breakthrough in prison. He wasn't talking about breakout. He was talking about breakthrough. And so he was in prison, making the best of it. He was writing these epistles. Matter of fact, he was writing this one in particular in the book of Ephesians.
And he was at that point, he got word that the Corinthian church was going through the same thing as the Ephesus church was going through. He realized that they're getting attacked. As he was teaching them relationships, then he taught them the relationship between you and the devil. Remember I taught you last week? You got to understand where he stands and where God stands, right? How many know we stand in victory? Amen? We stand in victory. The devil stands in defeat. And you got to know where he stands. You got to know where you stand in this relationship. So here he was trying to give them a description of what the enemy does and how he works. And so here he writes a letter, and he writes it to the Ephesus church, or to the Corinthian church in Ephesus. He was there, man, I'm concerned about the Ephesus church, and you know, and I'm gonna, or the Corinthian church, and I'm going to write them a letter. And so he wrote them a letter, and he says, okay, I want you to know that this is what's happening right now spiritually. How many of the devil comes in 3D sometimes, right? He comes in 3Ds, right? And this is what was happening to the Apostle Paul. He was being discredited. He was being distracted, and he was being disappointed. And so here he is. He was coming at him in 3 different levels. He was hitting him up at 3 different levels. He was trying to discredit the Apostle Paul. He was getting him at a place where people were saying, that guy's in the flesh. Matter of fact, they told them that the Apostle Paul was in the flesh, and that he's not a man of God. And then after that, he got distracted because now he was working in the church of Ephesus, but he had to write a letter to the Corinthian church. He was being distracted, and then all of a sudden, the work that he was doing there was being stopped. And then at the end, the Bible even says that he was in pain because he had to finally go to the Corinthian church because they weren't getting it. And the Bible says he was in pain, and he had to go deliver the news that they had to change. You see, the obstacle can turn to opportunities to learn valuable lessons about our level of spiritual maturity. I believe every obstacle that we face today will determine how mature you are in Christ. How many know we want to grow in the name of Jesus? Amen? We want to grow in the things of God. And these are two challenges that I face every time that I'm trying to grow in the Lord. You see, these challenges I always face when I'm dealing with finances, when I'm dealing with relationships, when I'm dealing with people. Number one, we have to realize that there's no situation that is greater than prayer. Do you know your prayer life can change somebody's life? Can change a situation? You know your prayer life can change everything? It could change the atmosphere of a place. It could change a person's heart. Matter of fact, prayer could save a soul. The prayer of repentance. Hello, somebody. You see, prayer, there's nothing that prayer cannot change. How many know prayer can raise somebody from the dead? Right? Prayer can heal a body. Prayer can deliver somebody from the vice of the enemy. You see, prayer can change a situation, and in a process, it'll change your heart. And number two, waiting for the situation to change. These are the two things that I face every time. That I have to believe that prayer can change anything. And number two, that waiting, sometimes things don't happen. Things are not working out. And in this situation, when things are not changing, matter of fact, sometimes they get worse, we become spiritually fatigued and we stop praying. And at that moment, we need to realize that we're encountering an area of spiritual warfare. At that moment where you're praying and when you're waiting and when you're about to give up, that's when spiritual warfare begins to take place. I've learned over the years that spiritual warfare is not yelling, right? How many here have you ever yelled at the devil? Lion devil, get out of here, right? The chamuco, right? Whatever you call him. He's in the house. You're hearing the doors open. Did you hear that? You hear the door open, the window cracks, and then, you know, the guy comes out with his crowbar and says, hey, who's in the house? Right? You get all worried about who's in the house, and you're freaking out. And then sometimes the way we think spiritual warfare is just yelling at the devil. Just yelling at him, devil, get out of here. Devil, do this. The devil, do that. And sometimes, you know, I'm sure the enemy's just looking at you, and he says, okay, go ahead and yell. But let me see your life. All right? Let me see how you're living, because your life will repel me or accept me.
Oh, it got quiet up in here. Amen. I didn't hear an amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. All I heard was, I shouldn't have came to church this morning. I knew it. Amen. But, you know, spiritual warfare is interesting because in order for you to move from the natural to the supernatural, you have to understand there's a spiritual realm that's taking place all around us. And I'm not a mystical guy. I really am not. I'm not a guy that's spooky. And how many, you know, some people call everything the devil. Right? That's the devil. You got a flat tire. That's the devil. Bro, you haven't replaced your tires in a year. Amen. It's not the devil. Come on. It's just you didn't take care of your tire. Amen. Oh, that's the devil. Your car breaks down. You didn't even check your oil in 2 years. You call it the devil, right? Some things are just practical. And sometimes we get so mystical that you're not fighting the right war. You're not fighting the right fight. You're fighting an emotional thing that you're going through. Just because your mind begins to trip doesn't mean it's the enemy. It's just because you got issues here. Amen. He got problems. Amen. You know, whatever is taking place in your head, it's not even the enemy. It's just because your mind has been twisted over the years. You know, and we have all kinds of stuff that's going on. And sometimes this is where warfare begins to happen, is when you begin to say, okay, God, I'm going to start to pray. And even when situations don't begin to change, I'm not going to stop praying. This is where the rubber hits the road. This is where nothing is happening in the natural, but you got to believe in the supernatural things are taking place. You got to believe that God is already sending his angels and begin to, there's things that are taking place and the area is being prepared and the gospel is being preached because somebody believes on their hands and knees and begins to pray and intercede. That's when warfare begins to happen, when doubt begins to come in, but faith begins to rise up. That's when warfare begins to happen, when things are getting hard and tough and things get rough and you begin to lose faith. That's when warfare begins to happen. I don't know if you feel me here this morning, but I believe that God is going to raise up some warriors in our church that know about real warfare. See, you've been playing with Mickey Mouse. It's time to grow up and put on big chonies on and just start having this battle go on. Come on, somebody. Sometimes we're playing with Mickey Mouse all this time. He's hitting me up. Oh, you're playing with the little boys. Wait till the big boys show up. The big boys show up when you don't give up. You know what they do? Let me give you an example. Oh, and they find, you know, some cigarette or some joint you're smoking. You're like, oh, I'm so tempted. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. And it's all this little tiny baby ain't a demon that's coming around. And he's seeing you. All right? And he's, oh, I'm going to get him. Oh, doesn't she look so fine? Oh, doesn't he look cute? Look at him. He's raising his hands. And the little demons are coming around you, and they're playing with your head, and they're doing things. And they're little demons. They're messing with you. Yeah. Mickey Mouse is messing with you, right? Donald Duck. All the Disneyland characters come out and play with you. You've seen them when you got high. Amen. They came alive right when they got high. Woo! Right? All the things came up. It said all of a sudden, but the moment you say, no. No, no. And you're like, I'm going to stand for God. Well, then the big boys show up. Hey, these guys didn't respond. Hey, uncle, come over here. Hey, come on, boss, come over here. This guy's not giving up. This girl's not giving up. Come, let's get this guy. But I'm going to talk about something in just a minute. Because when the big boys show up, you need to have the big guns. You see, your little tool of John 3:16 is not going to help you in that situation. You need to know more scriptures than that. You need to have longevity when it comes to praying and asking God for a miracle, for a circumstance to change. You see, that's when true warfare begins to happen in an individual, when they don't give up. In those circumstances where you're fatigued and tired and things get worse. How many know things get worse is because God is at work?
Things sometimes get worse when you're praying. How many have ever experienced that? Wave your hand. Come on, am I alone on this one? I pray for somebody, all of a sudden they get worse. I go, God, I'm supposed to be better. What the heck? You know, I'm supposed to work, right? Prayer works, right? Well, it's at work, right? It's convicting the person. The person is fighting God now. And they're going crazy because they're fighting God. Because God is at work. Amen. And you see, that's where spiritual warfare begins. You see, the Apostle Paul was here and he was trying to help the Corinthian church. And he's also helping the Ephesus church how to fight this good fight. The church was getting hit up and they didn't know how to fight. And so he was trying to tell them, look, I need you to learn how to fight. I need to prepare you for the spiritual battle that cannot be won in the natural. I need to be won in the supernatural. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 2, it says this. And this is the Apostle Paul because he's really getting in there with them. And he says, look, I'm done with this. Look, I want you guys to get victory now. And he says, but I beg you that when I am present, I not be bold with the confidence by which I intend to be bold against some. In other words, he wanted to confront. And sometimes he's going to have to get bold with it. I mean, we have to get bold sometimes. Amen. With our faith. And who thinks of us as if we walked according to the flesh? This is them accusing him of being in the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. There it is. He's telling them, look, you might think I'm in the flesh, but I'm not. I might get a little mad, but I'm just mad at the devil. Come on, somebody. I'm just mad at the situation. He goes, but I'm not warring in the flesh. I'm warring in the spirit. It says, we do not war according to the flesh, but the Bible says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down imaginations or arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. There, the Apostle Paul was telling them, let me give you what a real fighter looks like. Let me give you what it's going to look like when you're really battling the big boys. Because you've been battling the little boys. But now I'm going to teach you how to battle the big boys that come against you when you're about to fall apart. One of the things that he said to him, he says, you know what? You're fighting in the arm of the flesh, but what you need to do is fight in the arm of the spirit. Amen. You need to learn that the flesh cannot please God. Amen. But you need to fight in the spirit. So what does that mean? You need to use your spiritual sword. Amen. You need to use your spiritual weapons. We come against them in faith. We proclaim over our situation. You see, we try to handle these situations in the flesh. Let me give you an example. Sometimes we're quick to tell people something. How many know people like that, right? Let me give you a piece of my mind. Let me tell you how I feel and how you hurt me. Let me tell you what you've been doing and I'm so bothered by you. Let me tell you, and you begin to handle things the way you feel you should handle them. But how many know God says, wait. Wait. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you in due season. That means if you just wait and let God do it, maybe he'll do it better. I know he'll do it better, matter of fact. That if you just wait, you stop messing up everything, and let God do it. Let God handle it. Let God fix it. Let God fix your marriage. Let God fix your husband, your wife, your children. Let him fix it. Stop getting in the way of what God is doing. The arm of the flesh is not going to fix this. It's going to be the arm of the spirit that's going to fix this issue. It's not. Sometimes we think it's a problem with addiction. It's a problem with their character. It's a problem with their issue. Let me tell you, it's none of those problems. It's a sin problem that needs Jesus in the situation. Jesus is able to fix that issue. Sometimes we think that these things are, oh, let me give you the 1, 2, 3 according to my book, positive thinking and how to overcome that problem. Oh, hogwash, amen. It's all about Jesus and the word of God. It's able to come against every thought and pretension. Sometimes we get caught up in all those things, and that's fine. Get encouraged by those things. But be encouraged by the word of God. That's what's able to transform and change a life and change a situation. You see, sometimes we try to use the arm of the flesh to get spiritual results. It's not going to work. You have to use the arm of the spirit, amen, to get the results that you're looking for. You know, the other thing is that sometimes what we can't do in the natural, we need to do in the supernatural. Let me tell you what the natural is. The natural is coming to church. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, thank God you made it to church. That's natural. Maybe some of you guys were forced to church. I understand. You've been drugged to church. Hello, somebody. Got drugged to church. I want to go to church, Lord. Amen. It got quiet. Half of you guys got drugged to church this morning. And some of them, you know, sometimes we do what's natural. You know, the natural thing is, man, get in your Bible, read it. The natural thing maybe is to pray in the morning. The natural thing is just to do your regimen spiritually. But how many know if you keep doing it consistently, the Bible says whatever you sow, you're going to reap. If you continue to do it consistently, you're going to see a reaping take place in your life. It's a spiritual reaping that begins to happen. See, the Bible says wherever you sow, if you sow into the wind, you're going to reap the whirlwind. That means if you continue to sow in the bad things, you're going to reap bad things. Does that make sense? But if you sow in the good things, eventually you're going to reap the good things. What you can't do in the natural, you're going to need the supernatural to help you in the situation. So just keep being faithful. Keep going forward. Keep moving forward. Keep coming to church. Keep coming to prayer. Keep coming and reading your word. Keep coming faithful. Keep doing what you're doing. Keep going forward. That's the natural, but let him handle the supernatural. Let him see your family get saved. Let him see your children come to the Lord. Let him see your finances get a breakthrough. Believe God that he's going to do it as you begin to do the natural. Let him do the supernatural in your life. And I love it when it talked about arguments. That word argument, it's a debate. They're debating. They're going back and forth. And sometimes we do that in our own heads. You hear voices? Don't raise your hand. I don't want to know. You're hearing the voices. And not only just voices in your head, but there's voices of the world. You know, there's how many have ever had a relationship, and maybe this relationship that you have, they're not saved. And they'll give you advice on what to do in church, and they've never been in church all their life. This is what you got to do, girl. This is what you got to do. This is how it works. And they're giving you advice what to do in the things of God. They don't know what's going on. You see, and sometimes you hear all these voices and you're hearing all these words and maybe even your parents' voice or maybe you're hearing your best friend's voice and they all go contrary to the word of God. They all go contrary to the things of God. But how many know you need to hear the voice? You need to hear God's voice in a situation. When you hear God's voice, it supersedes all the other voices. See, we struggle with voices, I understand. We struggle with people's opinion. We struggle with people's arguments, and people will come against us. But there's nothing that you can't say about faithfulness. When you're faithful to the thing that God has called you to be faithful in, it begins to remove all arguments. Sometimes we just want to yell at the devil and say, devil, you know, stop it. Stop talking to me. Well, stop listening to him. If you stop listening to him, he will stop talking to you. Does that make sense? Is that practical? If you just stop listening to him, you know, let me tell you how you listen to him. When you become so pessimistic, when you become very negative about situations, and then you always kind of look at the negative side of a situation, do you think God is in that? God is not into the pessimism of life. He's into the optimism of life. He's always speaking faith over a situation. So as your vocabulary is always speaking negative, then I wonder who's behind that, who's feeding you these thoughts of negativism that's destroying your faith and depleting your faith and depleting what you're believing because the pessimism in your life is superseding everything else. But how many know God wants to speak to your situation and says no? And when you begin to change that language, then you're listening to the right person. The person of Jesus Christ, the person of the God Father, amen? You're listening to the Holy Spirit. You're listening to the God that's speaking to your spirit and says, you're more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus, that you don't have to live this way anymore. You don't have to be defeated. You don't have to be suicidal. You don't have to be hurting, but wherever the Son says free is free indeed. God is able to transform a person's life. You see, you could defeat the voices. If you just hear God's voice, well, I don't know God's voice. I'm going to change my voice just to help you. I don't know God's voice. The struggle, my wife asked me the other day, right? You were sitting there. We were driving. I wasn't sitting. I was driving. And we're driving. She goes, oh, papi. No, I'm just playing. She didn't say that. Hey, papi.
She don't do that. Amen. She's not Puerto Rican. Hello, somebody.
She goes, hey, honey.
I think you did say honey, though. Right? I think, did you say honey? Oh, you said honey. Hey, honey. It's not for me. She goes, it's not for me, but it's for those that I'm trying to help. But how do you hear God's voice? I go, how long have you been saved, girl? Amen. Praise the Lord. And she goes, well, how do you hear God's voice? Well, you know, how do you know it's not the voice of the enemy? How many, you know, it's not the voice of you speaking, right? How many know if it's not the voice of somebody else? How can you determine if it's God's voice? You see, I know people that always tell me they hear God's voice, right? They go, the Lord spoke to me again. My husband is in his room. My wife is here. Oh, you must be thinking that. Amen. You have this voice that always speaks to you. Be careful with that voice, because it just could be your emotions that are just. Is your how many know that your emotions play tricks on you? Okay, how many here want to buy, like my son has a red car, right? And somebody told me, hey, that's a bad car. It's a 49er car, homie. Amen. He had a 49er sticker in the back. But somebody that wants to buy a red car drives around, and all he sees is red cars, right? He says, look at that. Oh, there's another red car. There's a Honda. There's another red car. And because your focus is on the red cars, that's all you see. Sometimes if your focus is only on your emotions, that's all you see. You will just see that every time. And then you get it twisted, and you think it's God, but no, it's your emotion. This is how you can determine it if it's God's voice or not. Number one, know this, that when God begins to speak to you and you say, okay, God spoke to me. Okay, great. He'll confirm it through his word, right? It's something that's going to come out of any other book, but it's going to come out of God's word. That's number one. Number two, it's going to be confirmation. God will confirm it over and over again through a circumstance and a situation. He'll confirm it, and that's why the Bible says there's safety in a multitude of counsel. When you have a group of people confirming the word of God in your life, then you begin to determine, okay, this must be God's word aligning up in my life. When they told me that I was going to be a pastor, I didn't believe them. But eventually people started sharing with me. God started giving me verses and scriptures. And God begins to move in my life and tells you this is what it is. Then all of a sudden I believe that was God's word. You see, sometimes you're so mystical and emotional, you get it twisted when it comes to God's word. How many know we need to get it clear right here? That's why it says arguments. Arguments are so important to begin to defeat, because we listen to the wrong voices. You see, obedience is the greatest defense. You see, and that's what he said at the end. He said, you're going to punish disobedience with obedience. And, you know, you got to understand that the supernatural anointing is not reserved for the elect, but for the obedient. It's for the obedient. So sometimes we think the supernatural is for the pastor. The supernatural is for the minister or for those that are being used of God. No, it's for the obedient. He says, you're going to punish disobedience with obedience. That means real warfare is being obedient to God. That's all it is. Oh, I'm tired of the devil. Well, be obedient. Stop listening to his lies and be obedient to the things of God. And when you become obedient, you defeat all the lies of the enemy. Regardless of how you feel, you're still obedient. Regardless of what people say, you're still obedient. You continue to do what God called you to do. You're just being obedient. That defeats the works of the enemy. That defeats the lies of the enemy when you're just being obedient. Turn to your neighbor, tell them, be obedient. You see, only one person said it. Amen. Nobody wants to be obedient. All the kids are looking at their parents. I'm not going to tell you that. Amen. Yes, I already know. But see, going back to the original text that I read earlier, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. This is the strata of the enemy. The strata of the enemy, what it is different levels. Like I was explaining earlier, it's the levels of the enemy that the enemy begins to come against you. And one of the things that he came out and he said this, and I read this earlier with you guys, and one of the things that he mentioned was principalities. And you know what principalities means? It means the prince of the air. The fifth highest order of the ninefold of a celestial hierarchy. It's somebody that it's in charge in high places.
You see, the enemy has levels, and I was mentioning that with you guys earlier, that he has levels. So he has principalities that are over different demonic realms. Then he has powers, and those powers are powers of influence. You see, the devil doesn't have control over you, but he can influence you. He can influence you to do something or say something. He has influencing power. You see, not only that, there's rulers. The rulers are the ones that are over departments. They could be a department of homosexuality or a department of whatever that sin that you're dealing with, a department of an issue that the devil just has a grip on in the neighborhood. If you ever notice, you go to a certain neighborhood, like when I go to San Francisco, there's certain neighborhoods that I could feel the enemy. Right? There's an enemy that's taking rule over that situation. And then it talks about spiritual host. You know what a spiritual host means? An army. The enemy has an army against us. He has principalities, he has powers, he has rulers, and he has spiritual hosts in heavenly places. These are the strata of the enemy. These are the different levels of the enemy that he does. Man, all hell is coming against you. Did you know that? All hell is coming against you for you not fulfilling God's will in your life. You see, the devil is not scared of you just being in church. He's not scared of you even, you know, praying. But what he's scared of you is being obedient. That's what the enemy becomes terrified of you when you fulfill your purpose and your destiny. When you're a man, a woman of destiny and purpose, and you go right into the position that God called you to be. When you're in that position, that's when you're the biggest threat of the enemy. That's when you pull out the big guns, and that's when you pull out the big bazookas. He says, oh, doesn't matter what the devil may throw my way. It doesn't matter if he throws a kitchen sink my way. I'm going to be like a flint, and I'm going to keep moving forward. I'm going to continue to fight the good fight of faith. I'm going to continue to call upon the name of the Lord. I'm going to continue. Because all hell is breaking loose. It's not going to detour me. It's not going to discourage me. It's not going to disappoint me. But I'm going to move forward. You see, that's when true spiritual warfare begins to happen. People get it confused that it's just yelling and praying. No, it's not yelling and praying. It's doing and believing. That's what it is. It's being obedient that defeats all the works of darkness in your life and in your family. And that's why today we want to encourage you to get plugged in. The way we get plugged in, just like a light gets plugged in and the power source begins to happen, we have what's called a life group, that you get involved in a life group. We have several life groups for you to get involved in so that you can grow in your fellowship. We have a P3 growth class that, matter of fact, we're going to have the third class today. Come on, somebody. Those that went to the class right after service at 1 o'clock, that means those people that chose to grow are going to be a part of the P3 growth class. And I'm going to ask you this deep question as Caleb makes his way up. I'm going to ask you this question. I'm going to ask you to get into the ship. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, you got to get into the ship. You got to get into the ship. You got to get into the fellowship. Get into the fellowship. Stop being a loner. I don't want nobody knowing my mess. Get into the fellowship. Get into discipleship. Get into discipleship. And then you have what's called stewardship. Stewardship is another area where I believe a lot of people break apart. That's the demon wall. Did you know that? Because you can get into the fellowship. You can get into the discipleship. But when it comes to the stewardship, that's when the stewardship means I'm accountable for what I do now. My finances, I'm accountable for that now. I'm accountable for my time. I'm accountable to people. That's when you got to humble yourself under people and says, I'm accountable now. I got to call in. Can't just not show up to church, but I call. It's a discipleship that leads into a stewardship style for serving God. And that's where people fall apart. They stay at the fellowship, and then they kind of move into discipleship, but they never grow into stewardship. And if they never grow past the stewardship, and that could be the demon wall in your life, that when they begin to ask you for more and they say, okay, now it's time to go to the next level. That's in this church, we're going to ask you to grow, to get to the next level. Just like the Apostle Paul was concerned about the Ephesus church and the Corinthian church, he says, I need to teach them how to battle. And get into the ship, because the last ship is this, is that when you learn to get into the fellowship, when you learn to go into the discipleship, When you learn to go into the stewardship, you learn to get into the battleship. And that's where you learn how to get your battle axe. And that's how you learn how to get in there. Because we want to teach you. Look, let me just put it this way. We want to teach you this. That once you get into these areas where you're growing a little bit, and you're maturing. But now we want to teach you how to go from the receiving side to the giving side. That's the battleship. Now you're contributing to the war. Now you're because of your efforts, now we're moving forward. Because of what you're doing, see, just put it this way. You're no longer needing prayer, but you're out giving prayer. You're no longer looking for somebody to help, but you're wanting to be the person that will help. You're that person. You're no longer in the other end. You're on the battleship side. You're on that side of now. You're making a difference in the kingdom of God. You're preparing yourself for battle every morning. You're getting yourself up for prayer and the word. You begin to call your brother, your sister. You hold yourself accountable. And that's why the Bible talks about in Ephesians chapter 6, put on the full armor now. Put on your full armor. I'm going to say it again. Come on. Stop putting up your little chonies now. Come on, somebody. Put on your big boy pants. Let's do this. Put on our belts. Come on, let's fight. Stop crying about things. Start doing something about it. Sometimes we cry so much. I've never seen so many men cry. And I'm talking about the men. Sometimes the women, they're just like, get it together. How many women like that, right? It might be your wife. Amen. Like, bah, bah, bah. Come on. That's enough already. Stop crying about it and do something about it. Hey, that's going to another level now. You're going into now the battleship. Now, the church is meant to be a battleship. It's not meant for the weak. It's meant for the strong. Yeah, it is meant to receive the weak, but at the end, it's going to make you strong. Because the Bible says, in your weakness, you become strong. He becomes strong in you. You see, that's what I'm talking about here today, is that when you understand that when you move from the natural to the supernatural, you go to a whole nother level of awareness. Because the Bible says, don't be ignorant of his devices. Don't be naive or ignorant of his devices. He's working behind the scenes and he's doing what he's doing. But a person, I'm going to close it with this. When a pastor says they're going to close, it doesn't really mean much. Amen. But I'm going to close it with this. Is that when a person is at a place, and I know many of you, I've counseled so many people, and always the battle is obedience. There's always a battle of obedience. When they get to that place of just being plain obedience, even when it doesn't make sense, that's when the battle is really raging in your life. And when you're coming to that crossroad of being obedient, that's when the big boys are going to say, do I need to come in and make sure? Because the big boys are coming. Are you ready for it? The Bible says the evil day will come to everyone. That's what it talks about, the evil day. I'm not here to scare you, but I'm here to encourage you. This is what I've been doing for years. My wife and I have been doing this for years. We've been equipped. My son even knows it. My son's here, and one of the things that I did early in his life is I always laid hands on him early when he was a kid. I remember he used to get up. Like, what? What are you doing? Shut up. I'm praying for you. Amen. Don't worry about it. Amen. Because I ain't giving up. See, I ain't going to give up on my kids. And I ain't going to give up on my friends. And I'm not going to give up serving God. That's ridiculous. Amen. The devil's twisted and all the lies you've been listening to. That's why the Bible says you need to pull down every imagination, every thought. Pull it down. It tries to exalt itself. Try to make it superior above Jesus. That's what it says. It's trying to exalt itself above Jesus. It's trying to make itself it's stronger than Jesus is. That means, you know, the devil will tell you, everybody will tell you, do it this way because it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense to go to church. It doesn't make sense to keep going. You know what? Devil, you're a liar. Because when you pull down that imagination and you lift up Jesus in the center of that circumstance and situation, he's going to turn things around. What the devil meant for harm, listen up, what the devil meant for harm, he will turn it around for the good. You see, you have to know in your frail situation, in your weak situation, God wants to come and show himself strong to you. And he says, oh, in this vulnerable moment where you're crying out to God and say, God, you know I can't make it today. You know I'm struggling with with this person, doing this issue and that issue. But God, in his strength, in his supernatural strength, he's able to lift your name on high. You're able to lift his name on high. You're able to be lifted up and say, okay, God, in every circumstance, I'm going to get through. I'm going to hold on. I'm going to stay the course. You see, in order for you to get into this battleship, you need to put on your armor. Moving from the natural to the supernatural. Sometimes we come to the church thinking about the natural. What are you going to eat afterwards? Amen. What's for lunch? But if you just come to church looking for a spiritual answer for your physical problem, that means you're lifting up the arm of the spirit and defeating the arm of the flesh. See, God wants to do something here today. He wants to give you a breakthrough. You see, like I mentioned earlier about the demon wall, people get to that place until they fortified the plane. Until that plane got stronger, it was able to break through. I believe God wants to make you strong here today. Get through these things, man. Get through these issues, man. Get through them. Just fight through it. Use your spiritual arm now. God wants you to use your spiritual weapons. They're mighty. They're mighty. They're mighty through the pulling down the strongholds. They're mighty. I want you to do this. Bow your heads for a minute. Bow your heads for a minute. I want you to ask God right now where you're at. Because right now, maybe the biggest issue that you have is obedience. And that's right now. Right now, you might be playing with the little demons. They're messing with you. But when you choose to be obedient, and that's a scary point, place, because obedience will determine if you're going to be a man of God or not, or a woman of God or not. It'll determine if the anointing and the power of God is going to flow through your life. He doesn't move through the disobedient. He moves through the obedient. And so right now, maybe you're struggling in that area. You say, God, I want to be obedient. God, I want to just do your will, Lord. I just need to know that you are with me, God. I need to know the strength that God comes from you. I need God's strength right now to get through these issues and problems. Spiritual warfare is happening right now in your life. And it's very practical. All it is you choose to be obedient to the Lord in every area of your life. Financial, physical, spiritual. Learn to be obedient in all areas of your life. You will find yourself overcoming the enemy more often than not, because obedience will punish disobedience. Will overcome it. So here today, he's just saying, Pastor, I need prayer here today. After all the stuff you said, man, I need prayer. And if that's you here today, I want you to raise your hand. Anybody here?